On Monday, August 8th, Tall Can Audio hits 1,000 episodes.
Wait, that's still on? Who could possibly still care?
And the gang is all here to celebrate.
It's euphoric. It's got to be close to nirvana. It's outstanding.
For the first time ever, Maddie, Michaela, Rob, and Matt are all live in studio together.
It's happening, you guys! It's happening! Oh, my God, guys! Oh, my God! I wish you all were here!
Is this likely to go well?
Just check my notes here. No!
At least it will make a lot of noise.
Boom. Here comes the boom.
1,000 pods and 1,000 pints.
I don't think I've ever been as proud in my entire life.
TCA 1000 drops Monday, August 8th, wherever you find low-quality podcasts.
Fuck, it's out of control. Shit. Hello, friends. Welcome to the... What are we calling this? We'll just call it our pre... Fuck it.
Give him enough rope and let a man hang himself.
We will be previewing the playoffs today. That's what we will do.
Thick tongue freak.
How are you?
Man, you know what?
I
rarely have I been better.
Oh.
I am feeling very Olympic today.
Well, then you are in the wrong studio.
Okay.
Because the league we will be talking about doesn't go to Olympics.
Just wait.
Yes. As soon as enough money returns.
Next Olympics.
China.
We're all over that shit.
Yeah, we'll be doing that.
Not like it's in a drastically different time zone than the last one. Well, we can't do that. That's crazy. That's way too far out of our time zone.
That's far out, man.
Dude. Oh. Sorry about that. A little lung butter.
I got to tell you, I'm obviously pumped for one of these rare appearances by my team in the NHL playoffs.
So much so that it's driven you to distraction.
But
would you agree with that?
No. Okay. Yeah, probably. I don't know what the hell you're driving at. So.
Well, clearly you're having a hard time focusing here. I'm not sure what your deal is.
Yeah. But some of these other matchups, kind of underwhelming.
Are you kidding me? I think this first round has some sexy as hell matchups.
I'm eager to see Pittsburgh Philly.
Yep. Okay.
And we'll go through them here.
So you've struck on my first two, because to me, the Boston-Toronto one,
mm-hmm.
excellent. I am super excited to see it. And the Pittsburgh-Philly, I think it will be very enjoyable.
Yeah. All right. But I don't particularly care about Winnipeg, Minnesota, right? I don't really care about Vegas,
and
LA.
And as you said, I don't really care about the Western Conference.
Right.
It's all garbage. Nashville, just get rid of those other deadbeats. Come on over. Let's do this.
Yeah, there's a certain amount of that there's just some uninteresting shit. Now, there's a lot of polarization maybe on Chicago, right? People either really liked Chicago or really hated Chicago.
I love Chicago.
So do I.
Well, not so much right now.
Yeah, because they're golfing. But there's just some, I'm not going to watch a second of Anaheim, San Jose, right?
I don't care about that either.
Yeah.
Vegas, Los Angeles, don't care about that.
Well, this should be a good show.
No, okay.
I know.
We can talk about it,
sure.
But I'm just saying.
It's all late at night.
I don't see myself particularly hanging out super late to catch all that.
Right.
Right?
Well, let's start out west then.
If masturbation has lost all appeal.
poof, when does that happen?
Yeah. Then perhaps.
Yeah. Let's start with Vegas, LA.
Yeah, anybody who's saying this is can't miss hockey, and I'm hearing that right now.
Yep.
Obviously, people who shill for the networks because sure.
Someone needs to watch that. You know, you want to get people to watch that, right? There's not a ton of sexiness there, right? Like Vegas is an interesting story, but there's no name, right? Like I guess Fleury has got a good playoff pedigree.
Well, when you start missing sort of out on some 09. Of those on some of those Central Division teams, right? Mm-hmm. St. Louis. Chicago, Dallas, right? And you start to go
Dallas.
Yeah, they are further west, but that is a Central Division team.
Oh, I know, but I just don't think anyone misses them.
No, but I'm saying you are looking at more Colorado, more Vegas, more Los Angeles, more San Jose, more Anaheim, and you're like, Christ, this could we not go with anything sort of in the Central time zone?
Yeah. On Dallas, just for a second, because I found this interesting, and I wonder if you do. Dallas is the first team to ever have 80 points after 66 games and not make the playoffs.
That is interesting.
Yeah.
And this season was full of those sort of anomalies.
Yeah.
First season ever to not have a coaching fired.
Ooh, didn't take long after, though.
Yeah, this is it. Well, and really, of all the coaches,
yeah.
That's the one?
I know.
You've already come out and said, we've gotten rid of some players and we're going to tear this down.
Yeah,
and we're going to fire that coach.
The Rangers and Alain Vigneault as soon as... they were done, basically. Yeah, he's out.
Oh, but so
yeah.
Vigneault will be in a job before the draft.
Probably assistant in Montreal.
Yeah.
Because they're not going to fire Claude Julien. They should fire Marc Bergevin, but Molson's already come out and said they're not going to.
Which means they will.
Yeah, interesting. I just did a little happy dance when they said they were keeping that whole management in place. Sweet! More of that in my division, please.
Well, because as long as he keeps with his matching shoes and belt and glasses, as long as he continues to run that team right into the ground.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep going there, buddy. Mismanagement 101 right there.
Yeah, you referenced this is the first season in a very long time that I can't remember what the, you know, exactly how long ago it was, but no GM. And no coach fired during the season.
Well, and you can only thank Mike Babcock for that with an assist to Joel Quenneville. Soon as coaches start signing $8 million
right,
deals,
okay.
$5 million to Q, right? You sort of go, now coaches, Julian's making five.
Yeah.
Right? You go, I can't afford to have all that shit on the books. It's just, you know,
the other one
coaches are too expensive now.
The other one that I saw today was that this is the first time ever that the Red Wings and Habs have missed the playoffs in the same year.
Bound to happen.
Sure. But that's a long... I think the Red Wings came in 24, if I remember correctly, from the article. Man, that's substantial. Like, you could see it, right? For a long time, the Leafs have been trash, or the Rangers have been trash. But the Red Wings and the Habs...
Or the Bruins and the Blackhawks. Man, the Blackhawks are trash for four decades.
The Habs, even in these last couple of decades since that cup in 93, there's not a ton of times where they've missed the playoffs, right? They'll look it in with Jocelyn Thibault.
Yeah, that late 90s, though, early 2000s, when Toronto and Ottawa were battling it out, there was some lean years in Montreal.
Brian Savage and some of those fuckers.
Yeah.
Zach McCoy-Boo's teams.
Look at you guys. Fuckers.
Remember they had Andy Moog for a year as their goalie?
I do not remember that.
So anyway, both of them.
I do remember Joey Juno and Radek Bonk and
Doug Gilmore
and Andreas Dackel all ending up there.
Oof.
Killing penalties.
Deep up the middle.
Killing it.
Not so much.
Not at all. Seems to be an ongoing trend.
Yeah. So we'll go back out west here anyway. Vegas and
clearly not interested, right? Just trying to
prolong this.
We'll just talk about anything else, but.
To me, there is. Again, I don't know how much of it will be enough to make me watch, but there is kind of an interesting thing here that Vegas has gotten by on not a ton of skill, but enough skill and a ton of speed. And they're going to go up now against what is a kind of throwback, not throwback to the 70s or 80s, but throwback to 5 or 6 years ago, heavyweight LA team, right, with Kopitar and Brown and Pearson and Carter and all their playoff experience. And
yeah.
even Toffoli, like none of these guys are what you would call like big hard hitters, but they're all heavy. Like Brown is, they're not going to be fun to play against, right? You have Muzzin and
and Doughty and Martinez.
And even Phaneuf is a prick in front of his net, right? Like for seven games.
Well, that's why they're loving him. And they were willing to sort of suck on 75% of that contract.
Yeah.
Knowing that that's what he was going to give you.
Right.
Right. And so,
you know, for me, a rebound in Kopitar has been the whole thing there, right? Like all of a sudden, Brown is a 70-point guy again. Did Brown get better? No. Kopitar came back to being a 94-point guy.
Right.
And everybody gets fat off that.
And I think you're going to see it is an intriguing match, right? Only because, you know, we've seen Vegas slow down in the last quarter of the season.
Yep.
Right? They didn't chug along with the same zest they had early. People started to get on to that.
Right.
I do know that after a torrid start, Dustin Brown has sort of done a bit of a fade, which is totally understandable considering he's been under 30 points for the last five seasons or whatever it is. That pace is just not continual. Sustainable.
Right. But you wonder, like, there's going to be a couple of these series. And even if it's more perceptual, like we'll talk about this again when it comes to Toronto versus Boston, right? Can you win playing, you know, I think Toronto has more high-end talent than Vegas, but they're going to try and do the same thing here, run and gun, be really fast and get around a team that's happy to play a little heavier, a little more systematic. And I think there's going to be a couple of test cases for that in this year's playoffs. Can you win with speed and skill? Like that's what Tampa's going to want to do. That's what, you know, Jersey's going to want to do. Colorado's going
to
want
to
do.
And I'll be interested to see if Vegas, you know, with their, as we talked about on a previous show, if they can keep Kings fans out.
Yeah.
Right?
The Knights vow.
Yeah, it's close, and the arena has proven for the most part this year to be a very successful in terms of home ice advantage.
Yep.
Right? Great home ice record. So we'll see. They're going to ride that speed, and you know they had scoring come out the yin yang for a bunch of castaways.
William Karlsson, 40 goal guy,
12 goals next year
could be
book it.
So I think as we kind of look at this one, I don't know. I've got LA in six, but I have been writing off Vegas since they drafted their team last June, right? And they just keep finding a way. But
yeah.
I just think the playoff experience, like they didn't have Jeff Carter all year. Now he's back and doing his thing. They're going to be strong up the middle.
Which is clutch playoff.
Yeah.
That's what that is.
Doughty, Muzzin, Martinez, you know, there's just some guys there.
Phaneuf.
Yep. Sure.
That being said, though, I'm taking Knights in six.
Okay. So let's move on to Nashville and Colorado. Colorado, a 47-point jump over last season's results. And we've talked about this before in terms of parity in the league and what it means. It's hard to be a great team, right? Like you can jump in and fall out really quick with the 3-point games and a little luck and some injury trouble. McKinnon, unbelievable. I don't know, Matt, has Mikko Rantanen had the quietest 84-point season ever?
For sure he has.
Like, no one talked. The reason that everyone was all over Nate McKinnon for the heart was because he's got nothing. He's doing 84 points for Rantanen, and no one's saying a word. That's a man. And he only played, I think, 74 games.
Yeah, and that's going to be a fast series.
Yeah.
Right? But, sorry, Colorado, good for you with your, you know, half-century improvement in points, but, yeah, you're getting
20 more wins. It's unreal.
Yeah, you're getting steamrolled.
I think there's they've Clayton Kerfoot's had a good year. They kind of rode alternating Varlamov and Bernier and Ned. I don't expect
terrible
that to be enough. And McKinnon will never get away from one of either, you know, the top two pairs that Nashville is going to roll out of Josi and Ellis, and then
if you look at them down the middle, they're just way too much, right? In terms of the defensive pairs, the goaltending, And then the center depth in Nashville.
Yeah, bringing in Turris. You have Johansson, Fisher.
Johansson, Turris, Bonino, Fisher.
Yep.
Bonino. Yeah. Bam, you're getting crushed. You're getting eaten up there.
Nashville in 5.
I got Nashville in 4.
Ooh, boy. Anaheim and San Jose. Man,
thank goodness for Ryan Miller. Am I right with that?
I don't know if anyone's ever said that in the last 6-8 years.
Yeah, since Vancouver.
The Olympics, not his stint with the Canucks.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's true. That's right. Yes, I did mean the Olympics. It's a forgetful sort of stint in Vancouver. But many people have those.
Yeah. It's a goaltending graveyard, man. Everybody but Lou.
But if you look at,
Kirk McLean.
When Gibson went down, well, I'm trying to think of that other guy, the French-Canadian guy, Cloutier.
Dan Cloutier.
Giving up
shit from center.
This is how
Nick Lidstrom lobbing shit.
Shit
in there.
Dumped in. It's icing. Oh no, it's a goal. Yeah.
Bernier'd that. No, Toskalid that. Yeah. One of those Leaf goals.
And so, last year when Gibson went down, you had a solid Anaheim team, right? Gibson goes down, and they are in terrible trouble. When Bernier comes in and lets in 25% of the shots.
Yeah. That's not going to work.
And you're like, third round of the playoffs, that's not helping anybody. Right? And so Miller at least has provided some of that stability this year that Bernier clearly couldn't last year. So that's all I meant. At $1 million or whatever they signed him on for, nice little insulation blanket. And have you ever seen anybody who's gone from legit starting goaltender to backup in this really quiet sort of way he goes?
You mean Ryan Miller?
Ryan Miller. Can you think of somebody else who's sort of Vezina worthy, maybe never won one, but those years in Buffalo when he was he was killing it and then all he just sort of went away. Right.
Well,
it was just,
he would never have been as good as Miller, but Curtis Joseph wrapped up his career 5 or 6 seasons as a backup moving around.
Okay. Well, no, and he's pretty good.
Yeah.
Right?
Mike Vernon towards the end of
But just at the end. He was a starter in Detroit when he was there.
Yep.
That's right. True. He won a cup as a starter.
Yep.
And so when he and Osgood, and then he sort of stepped aside and he retired and Osgood came in.
Vernon was still the starter.
But I get what you're saying with Cujo, though. But to me, it just seems like, Ryan Miller was an impact starter.
Yeah.
Right? A starting goalie for the U.S.
Yep.
Right? Which, unlike in the 80s or the early 90s, Van Beesbrook and Richter, but you're looking at he was a quality goalie. That's just sort of...
Yeah, top 3 in almost anybody's book for a couple of years there.
Right, and I wonder if it's his frame. He's not a big man.
I wonder if it's that he's a dickhead and people just, I get what you're saying.
He always looked like one of those extras from Lord of the Rings. He sort of had that sideburns and thin. He just looked like.
I can remember vividly late 90s as Hasek is starting to wind down. His career in Buffalo, he'd go on to Detroit and do whatever else.
Buffalo.
There was a debate being had on Toronto Sports Radio.
Get out of
while
here.
I was waxing trucks in the yard for
is that a euphemism
summer job.
For something else? Or no?
And they were debating on Buffalo's tremendous goaltending depth and who was going to get shipped out of town because they had 3 goalies that all now needed to play in the NHL.
Okay, this is 3 goalies behind Hasek?
Yes. Marty Biron. I can't remember the guy's first name. It might have been Mikko Noronen.
I don't remember him.
Noronen and Ryan Miller was the third. And Ryan Miller was the guy that they thought would probably be shipped out of town and wasn't going to be as good as Noronen and Biron.
Was a young Matt Robinson yelling at the...
No, I didn't know enough. I didn't really... Stop talking
who
about
cares
the Sabres.
Nobody cares about the Sabres.
Right.
Only reason you need to talk about those guys is because there's tickets available for for Toronto fans to go down and watch games.
And Biron was the heir apparent. He would go on and play a few years in Buffalo as the starter, and then Miller took it from him and whatever. And who the fuck knows what happened in Noronen, but it was... I don't know why that is just something that stuck with me. And Miller, would go on for years probably 5-6 years was just a killer in Buffalo and murdered Toronto. And he would say out loud, I don't like Toronto. I like beating Toronto.
And
maybe that's why I don't like him.
Yeah, and really in that 6 degrees of separation thing, when you look at Hasek as the backup to Belfour in Chicago.
Yeah.
And they're like, Ed's the man.
Right.
Let's flip out this crazy eccentric douchebag Gumby. Where he goes and all he does is rack up like
Vezinas
six Vezinas.
Heart trophies.
Yes. And you're like, good call, Chicago, as you slip
and
off
into
the big sleep. Gone, yeah. Yes. And away you go and your team is irrelevant for a decade.
Oops.
Oh, we made a bad call
More
there.
More than that, because that was like 92 they let him go.
Okay, 15 years.
Yeah.
So, okay, all right. Decade and a half.
I don't know. I guess Kessler, Getzlaff, and Perry suck to play against in the playoffs for 7 games. That's not fun. I don't know. Is Thornton back healthy?
Because
he tore up his knee pretty good, I think. And he's
But he played with only one knee last year.
Yeah, that's true.
Come on, Joe.
Get over it, man.
Just one leg, skateboard around, saucer a couple of passes in there. Yeah, my question was more Cam Fowler. What's the deal there?
I'm pretty sure he won't play in this round.
See, and those guys have been, man, they have over.
There's a tweet being posted right now saying he's ready for game one, but my understanding is he's not playing.
But Anaheim has overcome more injuries, I think, than anybody else in the league this year and still.
Hung around. You and I both picked Anaheim to finish.
To win the division.
Yes.
Yeah. And to me, I like them in this series.
I do too. I've got them in, I guess I don't really know, 6 or 7, right? I assume it'll be competitive and whatever. But I haven't watched enough of either of those teams to say anyone.
Cards on the tables, ladies and gentlemen, and we don't care.
There is that.
I'm going with Ducks in 6.
I'll take Ducks in 7. So just to
keep it spicy, that's what you do.
Jets and Wild.
Banny and the Jets.
About a 5-hour drive from Winnipeg to Minnesota. Yeah,
it's a little border war. I like that.
I would think that perhaps Minnesota should be more worried about fans invading their building than Vegas should be.
Hey, that's hockey. That's the state of hockey.
Who cares?
Yeah, suck at Minnesota.
And with Ryan Suter out.
Yeah. Well, they got all kinds of injuries, right? There.
What? Eric Staal, fucking 40 goals. Does he know what year it is?
Well, and I know I'm not alone when I thought he was not just dabbling in mediocrity in his end years in Carolina. He was right. He'd gone from being on the Canadian Olympic team to being not even relevant on his own Carolina team. Went to the Rangers. Cut a big wet fart there, right? And you're like, that guy, dude, your career is over.
It's done, man.
And then he puts up 30 plus goals last year.
40 this year.
And then rolls in with 40 this year. You're like, wow, what's happening?
That said, with no Suter and with how hot Winnipeg's been most of the year, I got probably Jets in 5.
I got Jets in 5. But can you put an over-under on goals scored in that 5 games? Oof. Is it a combined? Is it above or below 35?
I'll take the over on that. It's going to be like I assume. Really,
that's Hellebuck, 7 goals. That's 7 goals a game.
Yeah, a couple of 4-3s and
for
and
sure. Well, they seem to win every game 5-4, 6-5.
Like Hellebuck will be okay, and I assume Dubnyk will be as well, but. But that the defense in like I think I'm taking the over based on a couple of 6-2s, right? Like
yeah,
like there could be some real ass kickings here.
Well, but and they talk about the resurgence or not the resurgence, but sort of the coming of age of that Jets team being their newfound and you know coverage in their own zone and their D play, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I don't know how you can point to that when you're just simply outscoring. Your mistakes now, right?
Yeah, it's a Paul Maurice team. Let's not look for tremendous.
Yeah, to me, what they're doing in their own zone still is a bit of a,
Blake Wheeler puts up 80 points. Line A was shooting the lights out in the second half. Do you think this is?
Well, Stastny rolls in there and he plays on a line with Ehlers and
Line A.
Man, how's that? Good fortune to you, my friend.
Leaving his team to be eliminated on the last day. 1 point.
Oof.
Which somebody sagely predicted at the beginning of the season.
It's true, man. And Braden Schenn wasn't happy on the day. Hey, we're in this. What are you trading our fucking first line center for? Second line center for? I'm the only question I have about this, and they've got some young guys with Ehlers and Line A. I think Trouba might still be out. I'm not sure.
And who is it? You want to talk about?
Well, just let me.
Let me finish for.
Yeah. For once.
Yes.
Is this a team, because it's their first, I guess they were in a couple of years ago, got swept by the Ducks, but Line A wasn't a part of that. Ehlers wasn't a part of that. Is this a thing similar to, just for lack of a better comparison, the Leafs last year or the Hawks in 09, or where it's a young core that might have some growing pains even in a series they should win? Or is there enough other pieces there and with Bufflin, right, with Wheeler? Shifley's never really had to carry a load. Yeah, Ladd's gone. He went to the Hawks and then to the Islanders.
Is that where he is?
Yeah. It's going really well. I just wonder if there's enough other pieces or if this is one of those young teams that might have some growing pains first.
Yeah, I think due to the injury problems in Minnesota, it's probably not going to happen here. They got enough going there.
Yeah.
They're going to run into it in the next round for sure.
Yeah. What was your that you cut me off so eagerly for?
Buddy's name that's got to be a 30-goal scorer of a guy I've never heard of. Rookie, last name
on Winnipeg?
Yeah. Copley.
Oh, Kyle Connor.
Kyle Connor.
Yeah.
I'm like, who's that guy? 30-goal scorer.
Yeah.
So in terms of, and 30 goals in the NHL these days, 30 is the new 50.
That seems, it's getting.
Although goals were also up hugely this year.
Yeah, hugely.
Well, would I be lying if I said 15%?
I have no idea. I enjoyed the word more than.
300 point scorers. Like, honestly, to me, that is.
Yeah.
You know, we had a bunch of guys over 40, a couple guys flirting with 50. It's not the late 80s.
Sure. Well, the offense absolutely was up. I don't know what the percentages were. Early on, it made good sense to me because you go, well, they cut out the slash to the hands and the hook. But it seemed like that only lasted like a month. So I don't know if I got used to it and players got used to it and stopped doing it, or the refs put it away like they do everything else.
Hey, what about face-off infractions?
Yeah, all of a sudden, 2 weeks into the season, we're not even, that went way down.
Well, the Senators took one the other day, and I'm like, what? Where have you been since Christmas?
They've still been more prevalent than previous years, but way down from the beginning of the year.
For sure.
Again, did players learn it or did refs ease up on it because it was getting stupid?
Hey, ease up. Jets in 5.
I think I already said Jets in 5 for myself. I can't remember for sure. But if I didn't,
I don't have the same contrary stance that you do.
No. I just couldn't remember if I'd put mine out there.
You hadn't, I don't think.
Okay, Jets in 5. Heading east.
Thank God.
Let's go Tampa, Jersey.
That is the first round match in the east that I am least excited about.
Do you think there's anything to be read into Tampa's struggles? Would be a weird way to put it because they kept winning games, but man, they were giving up a ton for the last 3, 4, 5 weeks of the season. I don't know. It would be hard to argue that they weren't playing in meaningful games because they were still trying to win the division and Boston had chased them down.
They clinched a playoff spot by New Year's.
Yep.
Like, they were so far out.
It's true.
And I wonder if there's any, if you look at that, and they have been cooler down the stretch.
Yep.
I think New Jersey swept this season series.
Interesting.
Yeah. I think
a more prepared host would know if that's true or not.
I'm going to put it right out there now. What's that?
I said a more prepared host would be able to back you up on that.
I think New Jersey swept the season series.
Yeah. Sounds familiar. Let's go with it. It's a good narrative.
But all by one goal wins, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly.
Taylor Hall, for me, league MVP.
41 point spread between him and the next place guy on his team in points.
He's going to be staring at Victor Hedman for 2 weeks, maybe less. And when you are so one man dependent,
right,
and that man isn't Connor McDavid, I think they're in trouble. But again, I don't. This is an interesting series for me. We talked about Vegas versus LA. Quick and skilled versus heavy and, you know, and defensive. This is quick and skilled versus quick and skilled, but the Tampa quick and skilled is Stamkos and Kucherov and on to Tyler Johnson and
listen, you have
JT
Kucherov, Stamkos, you have Braden Point, you have even that what's his name?
Yanni Gord
at 60 plus points.
Yep.
Right? Whereas you have Taylor Hall. And then drop back 40-odd points, and you got Nico Hischier.
Yes.
A rookie.
And Miles Wood.
Yeah.
Great porn name, by the way.
I was going to say, I think he was in that. Anyways, forget about it.
Randy Wood's son. Did you know that?
Yeah, I did.
Well, fine. But to me, it's much of the same versus much of the same, and I'll take Tampa's way better version of.
All right. And the thing, and I'm totally blown away by this, that.
Keith Kincaid.
Kincaid, this is it. Right at the beginning of the year, I thought the only thing that's going to keep these guys potentially from being dead last in the division, which I think we both maybe
I think that's right.
said was that the bright light was going to be Schneider.
Yep.
Right? But instead, Keith Kincaid has been, he's been lights out on nights.
Well, I'm watching Steve Dangle's video the other day after the Leafs played them, and he's going, oh, we're getting Kincaid tonight. You know, I guess they're giving Schneider the night off, hasn't really been paying, goes and checks Keith Kincaid's stat. 26 wins? Not 26 games, 26 wins Keith Kincaid has.
Yeah. See, there's a guy, look at him, he's got a much more established show. Not much prep there, Steve.
Yeah, so Corey Schneider, he was hurt for a little while, but
for
then
sure
came
he
back
was.
And then just, I don't know if it's a write-off season and...
Yeah, it's foreshadowing on the Philip Grubauer conversation that's going to be coming up later in this same show.
Stick around for more Philip Grubauer talk.
Yeah, said no one ever. But yeah, I just think they don't have, beyond that, beyond Taylor Hall, the offensive depth.
Yeah, you've never been a fan of Dana Severson and the blue line they've got there.
Yeah, no. Which Will Vasilevsky Butcher. Are we going to get, though?
Will Butcher, I think, has got 40 or 50 points. That's
okay, Will Butcher he had 10 points in his first 7 or 8 games.
Yep.
And then,
well, let's even get rid of that then. Still a 40-point defenseman on a team like that.
For sure. I don't, you know what? I'm not willing to call you a liar, but I'm...
Calling you a liar? I'm hinting that you're a liar.
I'm insinuating that you may not be 100% correct.
He was an interesting case there. He was a Colorado draft pick and then chose not to sign there and ended up in New Jersey. New Jersey had a similar... Then drafted Clayton Kerfoot, who didn't want to sign there. He ends up in Colorado. So essentially, they swap high-end picks and just, all right, well, whatever. Off you go. And, to me, Vasilevsky.
He looks tired.
He does look tired. And I've been seeing it a bit in Toronto with Freddie Anderson, which should shock no one with how little they've played there. But is
backups?
Is it a thing where he's kind of disinterested because it doesn't matter and he can... clamp it back down, or is he actually, because he fucking sewered me in our playoff pool. He carried me to first place all year.
Yeah.
And then for the last month when we were having our playoff, I'm done.
Yeah. I'll see you in April.
When it doesn't help me, you fucking.
Forget about it. And that's, to me, I think there's way too much on Tampa's side.
Yeah.
Right?
They're getting through this one.
That they'll get through this. But New Jersey, I think, will test them.
I do too. I got Tampa in six. Yeah.
But if they sort of sleep on the Devils, the Devils seem to just be
A little like Vegas, right? Keep just biting people on the ass and you wait for them to fall off.
And
they did sink in the second half, right? Like they were leading that division for a while and then came back to earth.
Well, the first 30 games,
they
were right near the top. Fade.
Washington and Columbus.
Okay, first thing I want to ask is, does the loser
Philip Grubauer,
does the loser great of
the
this
greatest.
Series, does the coach lose his job?
In Washington, yes. In Columbus, no.
Okay. If Columbus doesn't win, Torts stays there.
Yep. He's only been there a year and a half now, I think.
Three.
All right.
Because remember, he was coming into at least his second year post-World Cup last year. And they were saying, oof.
Yeah, that World Cup year was his first year. Maybe halfway through.
No, because they're saying if he has a bad start, right, he may be gone. And he benched two of his players.
Yes.
And then he rolled in. They lost the first two games. And they're like, woo, Torts watch is on. I think this is he's finished his third year.
I just think there are more expectations on Washington, even now, when that their window is supposedly closed.
They lose Johansson, Shattenkirk, Alsner, Williams.
Yeah.
And you go, that team is supposed to do better.
And Nate Schmidt.
And Nate Schmidt.
To be the, yeah.
Yeah. And then you go, that team is going to take a step back. Oh, wait, they won the division this year.
Yeah.
Philip Grubauer.
Vezina.
Don't mock me and my Philip Grubauer-ness.
Hey, I cycled Grubauer in and out of my fantasy team a few times there, knowing he was...
Well, people saying, well, are they going to have a goalie controversy now? Are they going to have
Oh, God. But there was a ton of thought at one point that Grubauer might be the starter in Vegas, right? They would come and get him if they didn't get Fleury or... if
get the
at
Grubauer.
Worst, get the... Always.
Get the Grubauer.
Yeah, to me, this one is interesting only in that I think this might be the year Washington takes a run.
Now you're talking my language.
Because of Grubauer.
preseason predictions?
Well, I think we still had Washington in the playoffs.
For sure we did. Yeah. I had Washington Nashville Cup final.
Okay.
You had Tampa.
I had Tampa. Nashville. I think I had Tampa Edmonton, to be honest with you.
Oof.
Yeah.
I hope that's not.
No, I think
I
it
hope
is.
For your sake, that's not the
I
case.
I think it is. And we will, as we roll through here on a future show, go and take one last look back at our preseason predictions. But yeah, I think this is a year. I'm almost positive you're full of shit. You did not have Washington in the cup final.
Check it. Check it.
You can all check it
Rob's
at tallcanaudio.com.
Rob's a genius. Rob had capitals. I said lower expectations.
Yeah.
Those bitches sneak through. Now, that being said, I think I'm leaning towards goalie Bob and maybe a first-round upset here.
Okay.
82 games later, I think I'm maybe off that. But
so we've somehow swapped places on Washington here, I guess. I don't see Columbus getting this done. They don't have enough there.
Terrible power play.
And while you would say that Washington's experience hasn't been very good, they do have a ton of experience. And usually that gets them at least a round two. And
if the OV years show you anything,
exactly.
I'm good for two rounds, baby.
And then I got
and
then
the
world
championship,
exactly.
Copenhagen in May. Awesome.
Yeah, I think they've still got enough up there. And Holtby, they rested down the stretch. And gave Grubauer a bunch of starts there, which I think was probably a good idea. To me, I'll take Washington and you know what? I'll say Washington in five. I don't think it's close.
Check the upset. Columbus in seven.
Like it. And Bobrovsky is the fear there.
Goalie Bob.
If he gets hot, he can take down anybody. But they've got a really good top defense pair, right, with Werenski and Jones.
After Jones, that, I think Jones not. Had almost 60 points this year.
Yeah. So I just don't think they have enough up front to compete.
Well, and that line they were saying with Pierre-Luc Dubois having a nice second half of the season as well, and he's playing on a line with Atkins and the third guy escapes me there. But, Panarin.
Yeah.
Panarin, that's been a fine little line. And that's, to me, I think watch for Pierre-Luc Dubois.
Watch for Boone Jenner.
Okay. Matt, we're gonna sway Matt. That's an old Oshawa General thing. So I'm saying
Boone.
I think with Saad in Chicago and Panarin, I think can I have a do over on that?
That's an easy
Panarin 82 points, I think, this year.
Yeah. But that's revisionist history on that trade.
For sure it is.
They made it on contract status.
I know, but it seems like an Ottawa Senator trade now in hindsight. And you go,
does.
And we got the lesser money and the shittier player. That's
funny
great.
How that works.
Yes. Oh, well.
Cue the thrift shop
music. Yeah. Right. That's just some ignorant shit.
Battle of Pennsylvania, Penguins and Flyers. This is one of those cases where the divisional format has done its job and given us something that I think a lot of people will want to watch.
Now, you know what? There's only I think I was reading somewhere. There's only eight guys left from the last time they played in 2013 or whatever it is.
But Crosby and Giroux are two of them.
Yeah, but it's Voracek, Giroux, Simmons. Now, Simmons can get squirrely.
Yeah.
Right? But
Do you not remember the Crosby-Giroux war? Like, that was nasty for a while.
For sure, right? And then they played together, I think, in the World Cup.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, if Giroux and Crosby are going to fight, we'll check it out, right? And I know the two fan bases hate each other, too.
I think that's more important sometimes than the players, right?
Well, Philly is crazy anyways.
For sure, man.
Talking about squirrely. There's a bunch of squirrely bitches there.
I think Philly, and you could probably say this for the last, 20 seasons, hasn't solved their goaltending problems.
Where's Roman Chichmanek? What's that guy doing?
Beating the Leafs and then going back to the Czech Republic. I think, they brought in Mrazek, hoping that would fix it. They've had some other injury issues there,
too. He was terrible. Yeah. He may have been okay right off the hop.
Yeah.
I think.
For three games.
Yeah, but then he just went, I think, eight without a win. I know, because I had him in my fantasy pool.
Oof, grasping at straws, man.
Well, had you seen my gold ending situation?
Every year. You're the Flyers of our league.
It's true, man. It's true. I have
great
all
teams and no defense.
This is it. No goaltending.
Or no goaltending, yeah.
Yeah. If you look at that is, and Elliott's been back for one game, and he looked meh. So
I would be interested to see who they're going to go with. You may see three goalies in this first round for Philly.
Well, I think the only time you're going to see Mrazek is if he's bringing popcorn to whoever's not playing, or hot dogs, or cool beverages.
Some rookie up from the AHL starting ahead of him for a while.
Well, this, Lyons, Alex
that's
Lyons.
It, that's it.
I looked at him briefly.
Oh my God.
Well, that's a team on the verge, right? And you're like, they need the wins. And
that's why I ended up with Carter Hutton for a while.
Yeah. If you look at it, though, I just, again, with what they now have, when you have Kessel and Brassard on your third line, it's too much, man. It's too much.
Well, and Malkin having maybe his best year in the last
five. He's a bitch, though, eh?
Well, a little bit. Kessel thinks so.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Kessel, check it. It's the first time ever. Kessel's right. The little fat kid's right.
It's funny, everybody ripping on Kessel for his fitness and whatever else. Maybe, but guy hasn't missed a game since like 2009. Like,
okay.
Something stupid like that.
Okay.
Like,
and let's just take a little sidestep here.
Let's do that.
When I talked to you about you being the Bartolo Colon.
Oh, good. We're back to that.
Yeah. Well, okay. They're talking about most innings pitched. Active pitchers in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
Okay. Far and away, two guys at the top of that list. I've already given you one.
Yeah.
Bartolo Colon, who looks like a fat Disney mouse out of the cartoons, right?
Thank you.
Okay. Okay. Number two. Can you guess who number two is? And they're close. And the innings are irrelevant, but they're far and away.
Got to be AL, right?
Yep. Well, and he's been around. He's been a little bit everywhere. Think other fat bastard wearing bell bottom baseball.
Sabathia.
CC Sabathia.
Yeah.
Those two guys, far and away, like the third place guy is Verlander.
Right.
That skinny bitch is obviously never going to make it, right? His body's going to break down. So what does that tell you?
Well, we used to talk about this all the time, the Jeep versus the Corvette, right?
This is like, it. You want a Lamborghini or you want the Jeep?
Right.
One's breaking down. It's in the shop all the time. And that's what I'm saying. That back to the Kessel reference.
Yeah. Well, playoff Phil is, believe it or not, like above a point a game. Like he.
Well, no. And honestly, his speed off the rush.
Yep.
It's killer. So I'm just saying.
Especially as a third liner.
Where are you gonna match up? How far down your line do you have to go to find a match for that? Oh, you got Malkin or you got Crosby further up the lineup. And you're like,
motherfuckers everywhere.
This is it.
Dagger. Yeah. I got Pens in seven. I think the emotion of this will keep Philly around. The goaltending, I even got questions about Matt Murray. I know you're going to lose your mind on that because a couple of cup wins.
Okay, see, I don't have any questions about how good he is if he's in the net.
Yeah. Okay.
I have questions. Is he going to yes. be able to successfully be in the net?
Right. But I think these are always tight. These are always emotional. I got the Pens winning it, but it'll be tough and it'll be seven.
I got Pens in five.
Okay. I think we only got one left. Funny how that was saved for last. Toronto, Boston came right down to the last night of the season. I think I'd said on this show a couple of times I would have preferred Tampa.
They look more vulnerable.
Yeah. And Boston.
And they have a terrible PK, Tampa. I don't know if we mentioned that in the. Toronto, I think, has its
second.
Toronto's
got, top five PP and a very high-end PK as well. So
not high enough, though. I think they're outside the top 10 on that.
I don't think they are.
Okay. You don't seem to have any stats, so I'm going to tell you right now.
Where are yours?
They are right in my head.
Yeah.
I think they're outside. I think they're 12.
Okay. The thing that jumps out at me is these are the only two teams in the league who both have three 30-goal scorers. Boston loads theirs up on one line. Toronto spreads theirs out over three. I think that's I think you could make the argument that we will see over the next 10 days which one is the better way to go. But that to me is just an interesting, with Bergeron, Pasternak and Marchand, unreal line, and they can shut it down as well as beat you up. Right, that's the killer there. Toronto doesn't defend like that line defends.
See,
none of their lines will defend like that.
And I like Toronto's depth up front better.
Yeah.
If you can roll it a line somewhere down the mix, which has got Marner and Kadri, I'm not even sure if they're still playing together.
Yes, they are with Marleau.
But that's a killer little combo that they have going there. Looking at the team's top scorers, right, you have Marner, Matthews, Nylander. Those are the three top Leaf scorers. And as you've suggested, Bergeron, very quietly, nice season.
Yeah.
Right? And still an impact player. And,
yep.
and those who follow the Bruins on a regular basis would suggest to you that despite Marchand outscoring him, Bergeron's the MVP of that team.
For sure. And I think Bergeron missed six or eight games here towards the end of the season. I don't know exactly how many. The injury actually happened in a game in Toronto. He played the next night and then took six off. And I think we found out, I don't remember what year it was. It might have been the year that the Hawks beat them in 2013. And we found, Bergeron was playing with a punctured lung in the cup final, something ridiculous like that. What I think is about to happen is Bergeron is going to completely cancel out Matthews.
Okay, no big deal.
Well, that's the question, right? Now, because I like, if those two lines can cancel each other out, and I think probably Boston isn't just going to cancel out Matthews, they'll be better than.
Right, but I think Toronto.
Now,
Toronto
can Kadri.
Toronto went 3-1 in the season series, and three of them without Matthews. Am I right with that?
Yeah, the only game Matthews played in that series, Toronto lost. So we should bench him probably and scratch him for that.
That's what I would do.
Yeah.
Seems like a no-brainer.
You got JVR, Bozak, and Brown down on the third line, which will be a disaster in their own end. But JVR is at 34, 35 goals. And Kadri with 20, he's got 34. Marlowe's got 27. And Marner was, I think, a top four or five scorer down the second half of the season in terms of points, not goals.
Yep.
But the defense, it's not even fucking close.
Well, and you know what? And what I may have been confusing earlier is both are top five. Now, I think Bruins may be sixth in offense, right? So before I include them in the heady top five.
Sure.
Right. I think they are number six in offense, but they are number two in team defense.
Yes.
Right? And in terms of shots allowed.
Well, and even in all the fancy stats, like Corsi-Rell, all these sorts of things, they are, it's not, especially the Bergeron line. And they've got decent depth, like Krejci in the second hole, ton of playoff experience.
What happened with Nash?
I heard he was skating with them on the weekend. I assume, if not game one, probably by game three he's playing, I would imagine.
And their depth, though, is young, yeah. right? The further down you get with it, right? With
yeah.
with the DeBrusque, even Ryan Spooner, 10 points in the 12 games he played,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, man, they had Ryan Donato here in the last couple of weeks.
Sorry, Ryan Donato. Spooner's gone.
Yeah.
Right. It was Donato I was thinking.
Well, and David Backes, that's not a guy that your young guys are going to enjoy playing for a week and a half. Like, I don't think he's got much left to offer offensively, but in a playoff series for 2 weeks, fuck that guy, right? Like,
yep.
And then, you know, that Leafs, all their offense, all that punch comes from the right side. Marner's on the right. Nylander's on the right. Kapanen is on the right. They're all skating right into Chara. Now, he can't play every time, like every shift, but if you can get around him, you'll outskate him. But that's a hell of a
well. See, but what they've done is they've insulated him with good speed, right? In terms of McAvoy, yep. Carlo, Krug,
yep.
Right? You are not sort of he's not stuck out there on the island.
That's right.
Right, and so Rask has had a great season.
What was interesting in the second half, and we're going back a long way, but 2013, the Leafs stopped trying to get Kessel away from Chara and started running him right at Chara, right? And yeah. See if you can keep up. And for those last three and two-period games,
yeah.
it was working.
Okay, well, and that's taking a page right out of the year that Buffalo beat Ottawa, and they just ran Roy, Pominville, Drury.
Right.
Right at.
Probably Briere.
Yeah. Right at Briere, yeah. Right at Chara.
Yeah.
And honestly, there was no clutching, grabbing, was coming out of the lockout, and they blew by him.
Yeah.
Right? And so to me, you get inside of him. So yeah, I agree with that. But yeah. I think now with some, you know, you insulate him with the more nimble skating.
Yep.
I think if you look at, I think the huge difference for me in this series is the PK. Boston has the better PK. Both are good power plays.
Yep.
Boston has the better PK. And if you look at Boston generating all that offense down low in the offensive zone, I think that's probably the Leafs' weakest spot.
For sure it is.
So that to me is a difference. Anderson has been an absolute stud. And if Toronto needs to win this.
He's 10-1 against Boston in his career with a 9.35 save.
See, to me, if Toronto wins this series.
I don't know if that means anything, but I have to cling to it like
for,
it does.
No, for sure, man. I get that. And, yeah. and that's and everything is stats and what's happened here in the recent past until they drop the puck in game one.
That's right.
But if Toronto wins this series, you need to see that Frederik Andersen.
Oh, yeah. And we haven't for the last couple weeks.
I was going to say, and if you don't see that, you don't have a chance.
Yeah, I think even in my wildest dreams where Toronto wins this and even wins it quickly, we're still getting outshot in every game. It's just the style that they play where they're going to grind our defense and we have to quick strike on limited chances, right? And I do think we have the forwards to do that, but they're going to grind the shit out of...
Who's the bigger douche, Kadri or Marchand?
Well, for me, it's Marchand, right? Okay. But I'll leave that to an outsider.
Could you step out of your Leafs
jersey? They are equally... Like, they're both just and playoff Komarov is no picnic either.
I think Kadri's the biggest douchebag.
All right. I can't really shy away from that. but Plekanec, I think he hasn't been.
Oh, that's right. I forgot him.
Yeah, they haven't, like, he hasn't been very good.
He's taken that. He's brought that stench.
Since he got
here. Molson X stench has come with him.
He hasn't been that good. I'm more comfortable with him than anything else we were going to run out there in terms of Dominic Moore or whatever.
Right, as a fourth line center, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he hasn't been very good yet.
Offensively?
So, or has he? In any regard.
In
really.
Any regards.
Yeah.
Okay.
He hasn't been terrible, but he just.
Is he still rocking the Pepe mustache?
No, Lou makes you shave, eh?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. He said that was the first texts he got after he found out he was traded was the goat's gone, right? So
the goat, Freddy.
In a couple
Goat-G.
Of ways, Freddy the goat is also gone, and his goatee is also gone.
Yeah,
Komarov down on the fourth line, good penalty killer, kind of a dick, right? You know, it's good that he's off the Kadri line, and now Marner's up there. Like, the Leafs are a top three team, top three record since they made that change in January. But Boston is the number one record in that time.
Okay, but
so.
But if you look at the last 10 games, and this is completely off the cuff, I think the Bruins have been the hottest second half team, but I think the Leafs have been better in the last 10 games. Am I right with that?
I wonder, maybe this doesn't matter. I'll ask you, your Boston was chasing and fighting, wanted to be first overall, right? They're chasing. Toronto has been in a situation since like February where they couldn't move up or down. And I wonder if a certain complacency doesn't set in and if they might not get rolled hard in game one, right? Trying to.
I don't know if you watch that last game of the season, that sort of playing game where they played the Panthers, and you fully expected.
Well, because I said to you on the Saturday morning, I would have said the opposite would have happened, right? Florida's got nothing to play for. This means everything, well, not everything, but means a lot to Boston, and the Panthers took them down.
Boston came out and said, we want to win the division.
Yeah. And laid a fucking egg.
Home ice throughout the Eastern Conference, if you make it that way.
Yeah.
But no.
So I wonder. The Leafs have been basically in neutral since February.
I think that's best for the Bruins. Not what you're saying, but the fact that they laid an egg in that game, because it wasn't until the end, right? They started throwing everything at the Panthers at the end of that game.
Right.
Yeah, that's intriguing. I had the Bruins winning the series anyways.
Right.
But I think it's going to be probably the best series in the first round.
I think it's right there, yeah.
These are the two.
Well, it's two top five teams.
Top seven.
Top seven teams in the two of the top three in the East.
Yeah, I think it's a hell of a matchup. So I'm taking Bruins in six.
I got Bruins in seven.
Okay, look at you.
Yep.
Stepping out of your comfort zone. Growth,
I think,
and
I think,
life is at the end of your comfort zone.
I took Washington last year too, but I think there's a path for the Leafs. But I got, like, if we're doing favorites here, it's for me 60-40 Boston.
What,
right?
Like, you mean there's a path to win the series?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And I agree with you.
Yeah.
To me, it's not an easy win.
No. And that was all the talk on Toronto sports talk radio forever was, oh my God, it's Boston and Tampa. I don't think either Tampa or Boston was stoked about the Leafs, right? Like having to do that either. I think it's tougher for us than that, but they would have loved to have dipped down and gotten New Jersey or Philly or something.
No, right? I agree with that 100%. Yeah. I don't think anybody wants to play a team like Toronto.
Right.
You know, 100 plus points and, you know,
top
five in scoring.
Yeah.
Speed.
A goalie who, when he's hot.
Yeah. No.
Can do it. So
there's
nothing
really palatable about that.
Right.
And it pains me to say that. Right. But this is an interesting team. And I think it's unfortunate for Leaf fans. Now I know you're not a movie guy. You ever seen Braveheart?
Nope.
Okay. There's a scene where.
They'll never take our freedom.
Yeah. So there's a scene where you know, William Wallace is pumping up the Scottish army and it's all this ragtag, dirty faced, kilt wearing Scottish guys. And he's pumping them up. And then you flash across the field and then there's this well disciplined, you know, the Northern English army is there. And the one commander looks over at the other one and says, they seem fairly optimistic. that to me is Leaf fans.
Okay.
They're looking. The Bruins are looking across, and Leaf fans are all like, "We're gonna do this, fuck you!"
I'll be gung ho, man.
Look at those guys. They seem fairly optimistic. Which means when the crushing defeat comes, you're like, "Oh."
Well, this is so interesting as we
don't you get it?
Shift away from this. Like in 2013, there was no part of me that thought Toronto even had a chance, and here we are, Game 7, up 4-1, 10 minutes left. Holy fuck, we're going to do this thing. And then, we're not.
We're doing it. We're streaking the quad.
Because at that time, Boston is rolling us. Every time we see them in the regular season, it's been like 11 games since we've beat Boston. And they defeat us fairly easily in game one. And then the Leafs squeak out a game two overtime win. And then they go home feeling good. And Boston goes wham, wham, and takes both of those. You know, okay. And then you win game five, you win game six, and you have game six.
Shut your mouth. Know your role.
Like, I got to make a pick here as we do this. And so I've picked Boston, but it won't shock me if Toronto gets this done. And I'll be there Saturday night. There's a Leaf viewing party here in Ottawa. I'll be there in full blue and, you know, gung-ho, man.
And likely at the end of the night, blue.
Could be. long as I'm not drinking blue.
I'm so blue.
I'll be okay as long as I don't have to drink blue. That'll be all right, man.
All right. Well, you're likely to embalm yourself early if you do.
Well, little blue,
little formaldehyde keeps a guy.
That frontal lobe headache.
Tight. Yeah, for sure. That's the formaldehyde speaking right there.
I think there's a couple of good series here. Just as we wrap this up, maybe you've already answered me with this last one, but is that, you know, out of all this first round series, is that the one you're most
for sure
intrigued by
for sure.
With your
it's
team?
Boston, yeah. Toronto.
Yeah,
absolutely. F followed by Pittsburgh, Philadelphia.
Yeah. And for me, it's obvious with it being my team in there, but I'm right there too. Battle of Pennsylvania. That's going to be fun.
Yeah. I think everybody is intrigued by the matchup of two really good teams.
Yeah.
Right. So whether you love or hate the Leafs,
right.
Hate them, right.
But you are, that.
But you're intrigued by all that they bring.
Yeah.
Right. And like it or not, yeah, they're bringing a bunch of high quality hockey.
And I think there's a ton of good stuff to come. Like, you could be looking at Washington, Pittsburgh again. You could be looking at Nashville, Winnipeg again. But all that's in the second round.
Well, see, and unlike a lot of other in Ottawa here, the sentiment is, yeah, you got to cheer against the Penguins. Hate the Penguins.
That's well, see, not I, me, man. Yeah.
But I don't.
Yeah, I don't either.
Right? And so, well, because they haven't beat your team 5 years,
yeah,
five times in the playoffs in the last 15 years.
I'm following you now. I'm with
but,
you now.
But yeah, they've been a huge... Like, we beat them the year that we went to the cup final. Yeah, but other than that, they've been taking our lunch money.
Right.
Right, including last year, you know, double overtime game 7.
Yeah.
Oh, you see, you thought you were going to do something? Yeah, psych. But beyond, I don't, to me, I'm a Sid guy. I know it's unpopular to be a Sid guy. Fuck it. Don't care. I don't hate them, but I'd love to see them lose. Only due to the fact Ottawa has their first overall this year.
Yeah.
And so if Pittsburgh makes it into a quarter to a conference final or higher, well, that becomes a
lower pick,
a 28, 29, 30, or 31 pick, right? So if they could somehow lose out and Colorado, Philly, and New Jersey could finish in the conference final, that becomes maybe an 18th overall pick.
Well, that was the one thing I forgot to mention. That was the Colorado-Nashville series is the Duchesne Cup, right? As you look over and neither of us needed that fucking guy, right? And
yep.
There he is sitting home. But if it wasn't for that draft pick, would you be rooting for Pittsburgh over Philly?
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, and I think I still am, right?
Yeah.
I like what Pittsburgh does. And really, who cares, right? I want to see good hockey.
Bottom third pick is a bottom third pick at that point, right? The drop off is basically.
Well, they're the 21 spot right now.
Okay.
So had they not won and things fell the other way, they could have been in the wild card spot.
Right. True enough, yeah.
Right. So to me,
Tampa would have been fun.
Yeah, for sure. Tampa doesn't want to see that.
Actually, it would have been Pittsburgh, Washington, and Washington doesn't want to see that either.
That would have been so sweet, boy. So sweet.
Bust your ass all year to get first.
Yeah.
You fuckers again.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'd love to see Ovi lose.
Yeah.
I think when all is said and done, he's going to be maybe the most prolific goal scorer ever in National Hockey League history, and he'll have to get his due.
Yes.
But I hope he never wins a cup. I hope he never gets out of the second round.
That's a spiteful bitch, man.
That's what I do, man. This is it. A career based on spite.
Playoffs kick off on Wednesday. Should be fun, man. I'm
Love
looking
it.
Forward to it. We'll obviously be all over that as we move forward. Let's wrap this one up. We'll see you.
See you.
Well, this one's empty. For more, visit tallcanaudio.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook at tallcanaudio.